For all the saints who from their labors rest. For all the saints who from their labors rest. If you're like me, you've been singing that on this occasion for decades. And every year we gather and we sing those words. We are aware that not everyone who sang those words with us last year is with us this year. And it's good for us to just take a moment, I think, when we begin this this time of reflection on All Saints and All Souls, just take a moment of maybe silence to name aloud or name in our own hearts those who we have had to say goodbye to over this last year. You know, those who have made their way to the other side and who truly do from their labors rest. Let's just take a moment. I hope that you enjoyed the extra hour to rest from your labors today. I hope you didn't take that hour that we were given as a gift and fill it with more labor. I hope you filled it with rest, you know? From our labors we rest. It seems like a lifetime ago, and it probably was. I was 18, and I was a university student in Lethbridge. And it was this time of year, this Saturday, and I was in love. Oh, head over heels in love. The way you can be in love with somebody only when you're 18, I think. And we had a bit of a hard conversation on that Saturday, and by the end of the day, by that evening, well, she dumped me. There's no gentle way to say it. I thought that I could not live without her, and she clearly felt that she'd do just fine without me. So, I'm sure no one here has ever had that experience. Having always been on the other side, perhaps, but... So I awoke on Sunday morning, early after tossing and turning, and what was it? My couch being wet with my tears, as the phrase was in our gradual hymn. I woke early in the morning and decided I needed to get myself to church. And so, you can imagine the scene. I make myself down to, you know, Sunday morning, downtown Lethbridge. Make my way up the big stairs, the big church, grab the door, and thump, 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 thump. It is locked. No! Why me, Lord? What are you doing to me? Well, you know, it was daylight savings time, and and I, in everything that was happening, I just didn't realize that. It had kind of, whew. And so there I was blaming God and shaking the door and not realizing that, you know, maybe it wasn't really God's fault. And maybe this feeling that I was feeling was, you know, that frustration in that moment, I couldn't blame it on God. I could only understand that, you know what, it wasn't the right time. Like, literally, it wasn't the right time, you know? It's not the first time in my life that I have not quite understood everything that was going on around me, thinking that maybe I had. And as we reflect this morning on the gospel, I want to say up front that, you know, I don't fully understand exactly what it is Jesus is trying to say to us. We call this piece, this sermon, The Beatitudes comes from Jesus saying, blessed are you. And what he names, especially this morning in Luke's version of the Beatitudes, are things that most of us, I think, spend our life trying to avoid. Blessed are you who are poor. Poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you who are hated and reviled and excluded because of the Son of Man. Being poor and hungry, being reviled, weeping and grieving, how are these things that bless me? How are they things that bless me? You know, if you have been poor, if you have struggled to make the rent, to choose between paying one bill or another, then you probably know that it doesn't feel all that blessed. If you've ever, God forbid, had to put your kids to bed hungry, that doesn't feel blessed. And I'm willing to bet that we have all lost someone, and we have wept, and we have grieved. And perhaps in those moments, we didn't feel particularly blessed either. So this teaching of Jesus is a hard teaching. Blessed are these things that many of us spend our lives trying to avoid. Blessed are you when you find yourself in the middle of those things. Now, Matthew clearly knows the problem, the evangelist Matthew, because in his telling of it, he adds an important little qualifier to it. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that gives him enough wiggle room, kind of a lens there, in order to say, I don't really mean you're poor. I mean you're poor in spirit. I don't really mean you're hungry, but you're hungrier and thirst for kind of metaphorically, and so on. Matthew also has Jesus deliver this sermon from on high. It comes out of Matthew's view of Jesus as being kind of a new Moses. And as Moses went up to Mount Sinai and brought the new teaching down in the Ten Commandments, so Jesus, Matthew tells us, went up to a high place, a mountain, and he gave this Sermon on the Mount, this teaching. But Luke, again, will have none of that. Luke has Jesus go down to a level place, and he delivers the sermon on the plain, which means that he's looking face to face and eye to eye with everyone who is gathered. He's not teaching from on high, but he's teaching, looking into the faces of the people there. Jesus is not a kind of a systematic theologian. He's not an existential philosopher. He is not somebody who went to an ivory tower and tried to figure out, you know, sort of the cosmos and how things work in that abstract way. Jesus stands in the level ground and looks us in the eye and sees our story and sees our journey and sees where we've been. And he meets us there. And so when he says, blessed are poor, that's not coming out of some high philosophical teaching. That's coming out of, I believe, Jesus' own experience of hearing the stories of people who have struggled with poverty. Blessed are those who are hungry. Hearing the stories and being with the people who hunger. And blessed are those who weep. being with those who weep, and weeping himself. So there is a connection and a relationship there that Jesus, I think, is kind of drawing us to notice. That in these moments that challenge us, in these moments where we struggle, in these moments where we think, why, God? He meets us in that level place. And he speaks a word that would remind us that, you know, even there, we're blessed. So that brings me to my next kind of thing that I struggle to try to understand. And that is, what does it mean to be blessed? Because clearly to be blessed doesn't mean to be happy, not in the way that Jesus outlines it in this sermon. Blessed are the poor, blessed are those who weep. So being blessed can't mean that you're, can't just mean happy. Lucky, you know, oh, I'm so blessed. We kind of use it as if it means we're lucky, we're fortunate, right? And it can't only mean that because, oh, I'm so blessed, I'm poor, you know? Oh, I'm so blessed, I'm weeping. I'm so lucky I'm doing those things. Can't mean successful. So it's got to mean something more. It's got to mean something other than those things. And again, I think I'm just waving my hands at something here and searching for the words to try to express what I don't even fully understand. But I think what Jesus is trying to draw our attention to is the fact that even in these very, very, very difficult and serious instances that we find ourselves in our life, there is always an unexpected gift that makes itself known. A surprise. You know? And it doesn't have to be a big surprise, but something good that we did not expect. Now, it doesn't make up for the bad, but it does mean that it's not all dark. And so to be blessed, in some ways, I think, is to be able to see that when life leads us through these painful and challenging and difficult experiences and moments, that it can open us up to seeing things that we might not have noticed otherwise. You know that the spiritual life, the life of faith, is complicated. It is a complex life. And I guess what I'm sort of, again, waving my hands at here is the idea that we can feel grief at the same time as we feel gratitude and blessed. We can feel loss and disappointment at the same time as we feel joy for the experience that we've had. We can hold those two things in tension. We can feel them both. And I think that's where Christ would meet us in this sense of being blessed when we find ourselves in these hard moments. This is supposed to be a day of celebration, and I don't want to bring everybody down. I was putting some notes together the other day, thinking about what I would say today, and my son Julian, who's 10, comes up to me and says, Dad, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm putting some thoughts together for Sunday. And he says, well, you better say something important. So, I don't know if I have succeeded at all, and maybe he'll tell me later. But I want to tell you a little story again. I had the real honor, midway through September, of presiding at the marriage of a couple of co-workers from the jail. And they were two absolutely beautiful brides. And it's one of those, if you're a chaplain and you work in a kind of secular environment, you plan these kinds of events. What people often want is they want God, but they want sort of God light, you know? Like, not too heavy, okay? But, you know, because we don't know if we believe in God. But we like you, and you believe in God, so, you know. I'm sure every one of you has somebody in your life that's like that, you know? I don't know if I believe in God, but I believe in you. And so maybe God's not all bad, right? So we planned the service, and we came together, and it was lovely. We were outside at Goldstream Park, and these two beautiful brides were there, and one of the aunts read the reading, which they decided would be something I suggested, and it was 1 Corinthians 13. We all know love is patient, love is kind, love is not boastful or arrogant, it's not rude, it does not insist on its own way, rejoices in the truth, it believes all things. Beautiful words. And as the aunt was reading this, and she wasn't really sure where it had come from, she gets to the end of it, and it's just silent there. And all of a sudden, everybody bursts into applause. I don't remember the last time I was in church where people burst into applause after a scripture reading. You know? But surprised by the joy of the moment and the truth of the gospel and the grace of God that pulls us all together, whatever walk of life, because we're all God's children, and if we're struggling to, you know, leave the world a better place than we found it, then in my books, we're a saint, and today's their day and your day. So that moment was one that I'll never forget. And and it just further reinforces what I already know with every fiber of my body, which is that God's grace and God's love for us and God's ability to bless us whenever, wherever, and whatever circumstance we're in, you know, is never ending, and we can count on it. Amen.